Matthew chapter 5. Looks like the storm's going to go south of us this weekend right now. So pray for our Sunday services that God would move in a tremendous way in our hearts. We had a tremendous touch from heaven last Sunday and expecting this week for God to move in our hearts once again. Those of you, the workers, have joined us on Wednesday nights. We just finished the Beatitudes, and last Wednesday evening we began the series Beyond the Beatitudes. We went further than the Beatitudes in Jesus' sermon. Tonight we're going to read verses 14 through 16. If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Let me pause at verse 15 for just a moment, because I'm going to use this as a title. But in my time, when I was growing up, we still were acquainted with bushel baskets. I mean, you'd see them, the woven strips of wood, and apples came in them and different things. And so if someone isn't familiar with that anymore, it's a measurement, but it was also the vessel that had that measurement. So it's talking about a vessel that would measure a bushel. Men don't light a candle and put it under that container. They don't put something on the top. Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, I'm going to say before we even begin, this subject about light, Jesus being the light, his disciples being the light, is such a huge subject. I'm going to limit myself strictly to these three verses tonight, what Jesus was saying. But I want to entitle this with a question I want us to think about. He said, "Men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel." I like to entitle this tonight, "Which side of the bushel?" Thinking about your light, which side of the bushel is it on? Which side of the bushel? You can be seated tonight. I was a little, I'm going to need your help again. I was a little taken back. It might have just been people didn't want to respond, but Sunday night, remember when I asked for kids that knew how to sing, read your Bible, pray every day? I was amazed. And we got our children workers here tonight. Maybe we talk about that. I was amazed that that song's kind of went out of vogue or something. Maybe not. Maybe it was just the way they responded. But I'm amazed sometimes at how these children's songs really have a grasp on spiritual truths. And then we kind of outgrow them. But there's another children's song. Does anyone know what it is? What is it? Yeah, I got a question. We're going to sing a little bit of that, all right? But do they sing "This Little Light of Mine"? I don't think children are singing that because they're talking about just a little bit illumination, just a small sphere of illumination. I think they're singing "Little Light" because they're little, right? Because the children are little. Because if they got the gospel, the light's not little, it's big. So "This Little Light of Mine," it's because they're little. So if you're going to help me sing tonight, maybe you need to sing "This Big Light of Mine." So I don't know how that's going to work. How many's going to help me tonight? "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Now, I know you want to do that, and maybe we'll get to that in a minute. But isn't there a lot of truth in that? Shouldn't that be the tremendous desire of every believer's heart, is to let that light shine? That's what Jesus' message is tonight. Now, we read about a candle and a candlestick, and at that time, a candle was actually a lamp with oil in it. Today, our candle would be a flashlight. Now, here's the thing about a flashlight. If you hit that switch, and there's no light, guess what? something's wrong on the inside. Either there's nothing on the inside, or the power has ran out of the batteries, or you see, when you get it right on the inside, there will be light. Amen? So let's take that as a premise tonight. The only reason there would be a light is because of something on the inside. That if anybody has the light, it's because of what God has done on the inside. How many is thankful for what the Lord has done on the inside? Now, we're not going to get deep with this or anything, but, you know, out of all the other purposes we could talk about, growth, et cetera, the main purpose of having a light, a candle, or a flashlight is to see by it, to see. And we could create a lot of scenarios, but light, it shows what's right and what's wrong. Light shows what's clean and what's not clean. Light shows what's in place or what's out of place. Light shows you where to walk. Light shows you where not to walk. Light will even help you find what you're looking for. Light will show where the dangers are or where the good things are. And all of these is the purpose of light. And we are to be that light to others. I want to leave just about three things with us tonight from what Jesus said in his sermon. First of all, if I am a true follower of Jesus, you will be light in this world. If you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, you will be light in this world, this dark world. Look at verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Hold on. Wait a minute. Jesus said this. Ye are the light of the world, but wait a minute. I thought Jesus was the light of the world. Didn't you? So why is he saying we're the light? I thought Jesus was the light of the world. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. When Jesus said that, he was drawing a comparison, just like that star of our solar system we call the sun was the light of planet Earth. Jesus was saying, I am the spiritual light. I am the moral light of this world. So, yes, Jesus is the light of the world. But notice what else he says when he says, I am the light of the world. He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, because he sees my light. But also, he that follows me shall have the light of life. Now, you see, you got to understand here in this Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus said, ye are the light of the world, he was talking to his disciples. That's important. How do I know that? You can look up if you got your Bibles open to verse 1. And it says, Jesus, seeing the multitude, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So Jesus was speaking to the disciples. Now, there might have been a crowd gathered around, a crowd of unbelievers and a crowd of folks that were sinners or unsaved. But Jesus wasn't talking to them. He was speaking to his disciples. And so when he says, ye are the light of the world, he was not talking to the unregenerated. He was not talking to the unbelievers. He was talking to his disciples. Amen. We get it. Jesus is the light of the world. But if we follow him, he has given us that light. How were the disciples the light of the world? How are we the light of the world? By two things, by relation, the relationship we have with him and the reflection we have of him. You see, Jesus, I am the light. But then he says to his disciples, because you walk with me, because you have a relationship with me, you will reflect my light. You know, we forget from the very beginning, the Bible says God made man in his own image. An image is a reflection. When you go to the mirror in the morning and you look, that's not you, that's your image, that's your reflection. Man was made in the image of God. Man was made as a reflection of God. Man sinned. It was marred. But I'm going to tell you, when you come to Christ and you are born again and you become spiritually alive, once again, you begin to reflect God. You begin to reflect truth. You begin to reflect who Jesus is. And I know you've heard it many times and about what I'm about to share, but how many notice all fall we've had these brilliantly bright moons? Have you noticed that all fall? Did you know not a bit of that light is generated from that moon? Not a bit of it has its source in the moon. Every bit of that light from that moon is reflected from the sun. Jesus said, I'm the light, but then he said, you are the light. Why? Because if we are in the right relationship with him, we will reflect who he is to this world. Hallelujah. How do we let our light shine? We believe, just like the disciples. We believe what he taught. We live according to his words. We follow him. We show by the way we live that we've been in the companionship with Christ. We share what he taught us. That's how we're the light. That's how we reflect. I want you to notice once again in this scripture that Jesus wasn't given a command. He didn't say, now come on, try to be lights. He said, ye are the light of the world. You are the light. You see, if I'm a true follower and you're a true follower, amen, we will reflect his light. We will practice his teachings. We will follow his words. We will adopt his ways and will for our life. It just will be that way if we're a true follower. It'll be our desire. This light that we are, Jesus uses this terminology. It's a city that is set on the hill that cannot be healed. Hid, excuse me, sit on a hill that cannot be hid. You know, it was a tremendous speech, and I was all for it, and I was all for the man. But Ronald Reagan kind of hijacked this for political reasons in his fight against communism, and he spoke about that shining city on the hill. That was a great thing. But when Jesus says, you're the light of the world, a city that sit on the hill cannot be hid, he's not talking about political stance. He's talking about spiritual light. He's talking about moral light. What's this about a city that's set on the hill? Where it is hilly in Palestine. But in ancient times, they never built a city in the valley because you can't defend it. You can't see the enemy coming. If the enemy comes, you're not safe. There's no way to defend yourself. When they got ready to build a city in the Bible times, they chose the highest point of land. Anybody that knows anything about military knows the place of strength is the heights. They'd find a hill, and they'd build their city. You can see the enemy coming. Amen. You're prepared your defenses. But not only that, every nighttime, all the people that lived in the valleys, it doesn't matter where you're at, anywhere in that terrain, when it came nighttime, you knew exactly where the city was because the light of that city was at a height that it could be seen by anybody. I mean, somebody could be so very low in a holler, if you please, in a ravine, in a valley. They could be really low. But when it came nighttime, they could see the light of the city that's on the hill. You know what Jesus says? You're the light. You're like a city on the hill. He's saying, look, if you got the goods, if you really follow me, if you really say, you won't have to try to get people to notice you. You won't have to try to convince people that you're different. You won't have to try to convince people that you're saved. If you really are my follower, it cannot be hid. People will see it. They may even be way down low, deep in sin. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you'll be a city on the hill for them, and they will see your light. What a tremendous opportunity. The city is seen because its position, because our position in Christ, our light is seen. I want you also to notice something, that the light of a city is not seen in the daytime. It's only seen at night. And people talk about how dark it is, and it is in our world. It's dark. But that's when the city's light is seen. Is it dark in our world? Yes. But that's when our light can be seen. Then the second thing I want to leave. Jesus said, you're the light. And then Jesus, I want to emphasize this. Jesus gave you the light, or gave us the light, not to keep it to yourself, but to let that light shine. You know what that means? You can do things that hinders and keeps your light from shining. Look what he says in verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, Brad, maybe you could sound off on this. We'll sing just a little bit of it. One verse says, Jesus gave me the light, and I'm going to do what? I'm going to let it shine. In other words, I could choose not to. I could try to hide it. But Jesus gave me the light. I'm going to let it shine. Could you lead us with that, Brad? You know? Does anyone know that verse? Okay, Sister Cruz, go ahead. I'm going to let it shine. What? Jesus gave me the light. So we have a decision. He gave me the light, but will I let it shine? My next series is on children's songs of the past that are a tremendous blessing and help to the people of God. Do you let your light shine? Do you try to hide the fact that you're a Christian? Do you keep quiet about what you believe? Do you try to act as if you're not different when you're around the world? That's keeping your light from shining. Now, I know I said this, and this is very simplistic, but the whole purpose of a flashlight is to see something. What good does it do if I turn this flashlight on and put it in my pocket? Does that do any good? All the lights go off in the building, in the parking lot. You need help getting your car? I've got a flashlight. Come on, follow me. And then I put it in my pocket. Come on, let's go. What good does it do? If you got the light, it's to shine so folks can see things from it. See things from it. Jesus gave the illustration of putting a bushel over the light, the candlestick. We'd have to use another illustration. That's why I use my pocket. But let me just kind of do some surmising here. What would a bushel be that would hide our light? Think about that. Think, personalize that. Think of your own life. What would a bushel in your life be that would hide your light? What would it be? I got this thinking of this. One thing for sure, anything of the world is dark. Anything of the world that I would adapt to my life would hide the light of Jesus. Don't you think so? And I know it goes way beyond this, but did you know if I'm supposed to be a believer and I'm at school and I'm at work and I tell a dirty joke, you know what I just did? I just put a huge bushel over the light. Right? Amen. Maybe I go out and I dress immodestly like the world around me. I've just put a big bushel over my light. Amen. Maybe I'm always acting with an ugly attitude, complaining, gripe. The teacher gives homeworks and I throw a fit. You know, I've always got a bad attitude. The boss is always wrong. You know what we do? We start complaining. I know no one else does this here. This is for those that are streaming tonight. I realize that. But you know what happens when we start complaining and stuff? Does anyone know what we just did? We put a big old bushel over the light. Amen. Have you thought of some things yet? Amen. When it's known, when the people at work know you watch the same filthy program on TV that they watch and they're into, big old bushel over the light. Well, you know, I think it's kind of cool. I'll just let go a few curse words. You know what you just did? You just put a bushel. You just put your flashlight in your pocket. Is that enough illustrations? How many can think personally in your life what a bushel might be? I want to ask a question. What if Jesus had not been a light to me? What if Jesus had not been a light to you? And did you know and realize in most cases, you did not get saved just because one day you saw the light of Jesus just unassociated with people. Most people here got saved because you saw the light of Jesus shining from another person. Am I correct? Most people here tonight, you got saved because you saw the light of Jesus shining from another person. And so I want to ask us tonight, do you want to deprive the people of the world that you live in? Do you want to deprive them of the light that could save them, change them, show them the way to Christ? No, we don't want to deprive them of the light. Take the bushel off. Get the flashlight out of your pocket. Now listen to what Jesus said. You don't put it under a bushel. You put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. What does that mean, in the house? Well, in the illustration, it's just talking about it's nighttime, you're in a house, and that'd be silly. You're sitting there at the table with the family eating dinner, and then dad, he just takes some kind of clay vessel, and he just puts it over the candlestick, and you're sitting there in the dark. Everybody suffers for it. Not just the one that put the bushel over the candlestick, but everybody that's in the house. But what is the house? Well, sure, your home is your house, and my home is my house. But did you know in this illustration, your school is your house. Don't put your light under a bushel. Put it on a candlestick in your house. Your workplace is your house. Your neighborhood is your house. Praise the Lord. So Jesus gave me the light. I'm going to let it shine. Third and last thing tonight. I think it's the last thing. Yes. The light should always be pointed on God. Lights go out. Lights on the parking lot. You need to find your car. Did you drive to church here? You need to find your car. And I say, here, follow me. I got the light. This time I don't put it in my pocket. You know what I do? Light should always be pointed on Jesus Christ, on God. You know, one of the things I remember growing up, we did all of our home repairs, auto repairs. So from my very youngest years, I remember getting the job of holding the light, either the treble light, you know, that you plug in, or a flashlight for dad when he's in the attic working under the hood work. It's my job to hold a light. Now, that sounds simple to do. You know, very few people can hold a light that you can work by. And I could, this day, from very young, I can remember my dad staying on me. That's not where I'm working. You're not pointing it. You got to point it where I'm working. You got to point it where it needs to go. And then the old, you know, you'd forget. Here's my dad working. I'd forget, and I'd be getting bored, and pretty soon it'd be right in his eyes. Well, I was about 25, and he came to see me, and I was trying to work on my car, and I asked him to hold the light, and I'm trying to work, and pretty soon I said, what are you doing? He said, it's payback time. The main thing about the light is to see by, but the light, when I have the light, it's not so that I could be seen or I could see myself. The purpose of the light is to show Jesus, to show him to the lost world around us. Amen. Shining the light's not just sharing what I know about Jesus, it's showing what he has done and can do and will do. Every time I live pure, I show him what Jesus is like. He makes you pure. Every time I have a good attitude, I show folks what Jesus is like. What he can do. Every time I'm respectful, I'm polite, I'm mannerly, I'm without rancor, I'm without anger, I'm without prejudice. When I'm positive, when I'm joyful, I say to the world, my house around me, I say, this is what Jesus will do for you. The light is pointed on Jesus. Now listen to what he says here. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. There's a lot said today because of an overstressed, out of balance truth of not being saved by works, and we're not saved by works. But folks just want to get rid of works completely, like they don't matter. Well, let me show you one place that works matter. Here, Jesus lets us know that good works are actually the light that shows the world God. Good works coming from the people of God are the light that shows the glory of God to our world. Amen. And so the good works, the focus isn't on the good works. The focus is on what the good works point to. Amen. The good works, they don't say, wow, what a good work. They say, what made you like that? How did you get to the place that you're doing? So the good works isn't just, wow, that's a good thing. But who's responsible for that in your life? And so the good works doesn't point to the person doing them. The good works don't point to themselves. The good works points to the God that changed the person that allowed them to have that response, action, and reaction in the world. It's a power, not our own. It's a change that happened. My good works aren't so I can be seen. My good works are so that God can be seen. And it does make a difference. When folks see what Christ has done and they see that you're different, you react different, respond different, they want to know how you got that way. And let me give you an illustration. I didn't know how to give this. It's such a good illustration, and you got to keep it in the context of what I want to give it. But I spoke at a large meeting years ago when I was really young. And when I got through, an older minister got up after me, and he called me by name. He said, I know him, and he preached better than he's capable, speaking to me, capable of preaching. I know him, he said, and he's preaching better than he's capable of preaching. Well, I want to tell you something. It ought to be that way with all of us. People look at our lives. That's not just coming from inside of that person. That's not just their natural kindness, their natural ability. Something's got a hold of them. Something's at work in them. That's what Jesus means. It's not just the good works you produce, but it's the good works that come from what God has done. And when people see it, they know that's not just simply accredited to you. They know there's something bigger. And therefore, what does Jesus say they'll do? They'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. You did the good works, but you don't get the glory. Why? Because the light's not on you. Your good works are the light that shines on the Father. Music, you can go ahead and close. Close. Come, so I'll close. I don't imagine anyone's heard of this app yet unless you just kind of ran across it. But there's a new app called Be My Eyes. Has anyone heard of it? Be My Eyes. Anyone heard of this app? You can do a search for it. What it is somebody came up with this wonderful idea. There are blind people who live alone. Blind people can't see, live in darkness. I know that's self-explanatory, but to show you what this app does, they can't see when they open the refrigerator if the milk is past expiration or not. When they go and the cans are in the cupboard, they can't tell the can of beans from the can of tomatoes. A lot of other things they can't tell. Can't even tell what their thermostat is set on. So what this app does is someone for the blind people sign up, and then if you would like to help be their eyes, you can sign up, and the app links you. And then if a blind person needs help, that is linked to their phone. They know which button to push. They push that button. And, of course, you know, they have a high sense of feel. They can tell which side of their phone is which. And they will call you up and say, I need help. I don't know if this milk is expired. And the blind person will open the refrigerator, turn their phone around, and you can see that like a FaceTime call. You can see that milk, and you can tell them. They'll go to the cupboard. Where's the tomatoes at? It's the, you know, it's over to the left, another shelf up. What's the thermostat set on? You can tell them all of those things. You are their eyes because they're in darkness. And this app links somebody that can see with somebody that's blind. I want us to believe something. You know, God's way ahead of all that. Did you know that? Please take this challenge tonight. Do you know what I believe God does for those that are truly His followers that have the light? I think if you will let Him, God will link you up with somebody in darkness. How many believes what Scripture says? If somebody doesn't know the gospel, they're blinded. They're in darkness. Did you know every one of you young people that know the Lord, everybody in this audience that knows the Lord, if you'll let God in your life, I'm not talking about close associations and unequal yokes. I'm talking about God will link you with somebody that's in darkness so that you can be their light and show them the way. Show them Christ. Show them the love of God. And there's one difference with the way God does it. When God gets through, He can heal them of the spiritual blindness, and then they can see for themselves and be the next one to be linked to somebody that's blind. A lot of folks are blind. That's why we got the mess we're in. But ye are the light of the world. Amen. I want to let my light shine. Amen. And if you need help to your car tonight, I'll keep it out of my pocket and I'll show you the way. I want to be a light like that to show folks the way. Could you stand across the building? Thank you, Jesus, for this sermon. Thank you for what you're speaking to us from this sermon. God, I want to be a light. Amen. Now, I'm going to end with my title tonight. Which side of the bushel are you on? Which side of the bushel are you on? Would you come and pray? Let God's word settle in your heart.
Let your love shine through.